this is curled up, recording a story by John Prothero, who is now 85 years old, and remembers very clearly the day in 1905 when, as marshal of the village of Wild Rose, he helped catch the bank robbers who were found in a wood nearby. This is the 31st of August, 1957. All right, tell us the story now.
It's all set.
It's all set.
All set. Well, they were working in both places at the same time.
The robbers, you mean?
Yeah, the robbers were working both in the post office and in the bank. Two of them was in the bank and two was in the post office, blowing up the safes.
Well, would you begin from the time when two men came to your house at night, you know, when you were almost through with your work?
Yeah, well, that was the start of it. And of course, those people came, I didn't know anything about it at that time. You see, I had to go to bed before they went to work.
Mm-hmm.
See, they went to work after I went to bed.
Well, I mean, the two men who came to your house and wanted to stay overnight.
Yeah.
Could you begin there? Tell that?
Yeah. Well, they came there after I closed this places up. They had saloons here then, you know, too.
And you had to close them at 11 before you went home?
I had to see that they were closed. And before I could go home, and then when I went home, these two men were at the door, wanted to find out where I was.
Probably.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
So they were talking to my wife, and they wanted a place to stay. And she says to them, "Why don't you go to the hotel and stay?" They said, "This hotel is full. We ain't no room in the hotel." And she says, "Well, we haven't got no room here." And just then I came up from uptown.
Mm-hmm.
Had everything closed up. And I says, "Well, boys," I says, "what are you doing here?" He says, "We are potato diggers and we want a place to stay all night." And well, I says, "You can't stay. We haven't got no room in the house for you." And I says, "I can fix you a place in the barn if that'll satisfy you." And that'll be all right. That was fine. They just what suited them, you see. Then they could watch me, you know,
mm-hmm.
know where I was. I says, "I'm going in pretty soon now." And I says, "Yeah, I'll get a lantern. I'll fix you out." So I took him up there, went to bed. Then I went to bed. About 3 o'clock in the morning, I got notice that there were two men in the post office. They'd already blown the safe up, and there were two working in the bank. And they'd blown the first door open in the bank safe. And they had the glycerin and the stuff ready for the second charge.
Mm-hmm.
When they were disturbed by this fellow across the street, he run into a telephone wire or something. Yeah, and they heard it and they skipped out. But they'd already blown this deuce out of the safe in the post office and got all the money out of there, but they didn't get nothing out the bank. But they had the charge already to blow it, the second charge. But we had to get an expert afterwards to fix that up. Hey, gosh, and there's lots to it. I could remember it all. I can remember it all, but to word it off is...
Well, you don't need to worry about wording it. You're just doing a fine, fine job. How you went down by the Kaminsky School last
year? Yeah, I tracked them out then, as far as across the bridge. I knew they crossed the bridge, some of them. And so I tracked them as far as the Kaminsky Schoolhouse, with the lantern even. They could see me, of course. How foolish I was. But they turned off there and went off towards, by the Kaminsky, they went off towards Idlewild and up through by Umphress, that way I could track them once in a while, you know, see their tracks. I knew their track. And they went as far as Hanwell Schoolhouse, and that's the last place I could find a track. So they either went on the grass along the fence up on that hill, or else it was over on the grass next to the lake. So we figured they would get down where there was water next to the lake. So I went down in through there, and I thought to myself, well, gee whiz, I don't know. If there was four of them, what'll I do against four if they've got guns and everything? I won't be able to handle four all by myself. So I says to Nash, I says, we better go back and I get up a posse. That come to my mind right away. Get up a posse, surround that country and round through there. So that's what we did do. And we hunted, didn't find nobody on that side. So it run along towards sundown. It was getting late. And everybody wanted to get home, and they said, there's no use. Them fellows is far enough gone now. We won't find them. You might as well look for a needle in the haystack. Well, I said, there's just one place I'd like to look over yet before we go, if some of you will volunteer to go with me. So a few of them volunteered, Johnny Roberts and some more fellows that was good shots. I placed them each side of the woods, some on the south and some on the east and some on the west end, and then some on. Then I says, when you get set, I'll go through the center. And if there's anybody I could see between it wasn't very wide pieces you could see from one field to the other. So it wasn't long before I see four fellas coming towards me, but looking the other way around. They weren't looking towards the side I was on. And I had Vid on, old Rambler, all the time. He was the leader. And I thought, well, they're just about even with me now. I can't let them go by. I says, halt. Well, gee whiz, they commenced to shoot. They just whirled around. They commenced to shoot at me, you know. But I let it go, and I knocked his hat off first shot. Because I had a good bead on him. So that was the start of it. But there's an awful lot to it, you know. I could get it in shape.
And then did they go and did they run then when you began to shoot at them?
Yeah, they ducked. They ducked into a clump of, and I run right by them, looking up and thinking they were going to run across the field on the other side. Nobody came out on that side, so the boys said, They wouldn't know what that shooting. I says, it's four strangers in here. So we formed another line, went back in, and then they commenced to shoot again, and then we drove, I drove them right down to the corner where the rest of the boys had come up then from the corner.
And then they surrendered.
And they gave up, and they, and that's the time the old Hanlon was going to take a bead on me, and he says, he says, you son of a bitch, he says, I'll get you. Just that's the words he used. I was just close enough to him, I could hear what he said and everything. And he drawed the line. He put his arm around a little sapling tree that was there, and he's going to just take a good shot at me. Because I had nothing in my gun, you know. I couldn't help myself if he did. I wasn't scared, though, not a bit. But
what kept him from doing it, from shooting?
Huh?
Why didn't he shoot?
Somebody else got him first. He got him. He put his arm out. He had his arm up like that, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And the fellow that shot him shot under his arm. Yeah, and he'd come out on the, and you went right on the. That was the end of it. You end up then and captured them all.
Oh. Is that the one they called Patsy?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's one they called little Patsy. They said he was a wild one too. He was good. He had a lot of scars in himself too.
Then how did you get them back to town?
We had the rigs there then.
The horses and buggies, or horses and wagons, or?
Yeah, we had. I had my rig there, and some of the other fellows had rigs for the livery barn. And we had a double-seated rig there that they could, several of them, ride. And that's the one that the chick put the halter on, handling, and tied him to the post that run up and down.
Then you brought him back to Wild Rose?
Yeah. And old Ramler says to me, he says, here, this darn sand, he says, is worse than snow. How did you find out where we were? How did you? I says, we tracked you. I tracked you. He says, this darn sand is worse than snow, he says.
And then you took them to jail in Wautoma that same night?
Yeah, same night. Late, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We had to take care of him here, and then we took one of them down to feed him, and feed the other fellas too. We took him to the hotel, gave him plenty to eat first. But old Rambler, we had to keep here. He wasn't able to go here. Shot pretty close to the brain, you know, and he was in misery.
Did you keep him in the hotel, or where did he stay?
No, kept him in Dick Sage's place with a guard with a gun over him all night. Yeah. Charlie Darling watched him all night.
And then how long was it before they went to prison?
Oh, it took quite a while. They had to have a hearing over in Milwaukee first, and they started them to go to Oshkosh, but the old Rambler, he said, no, he says, we want to go before the federal court. So they went, took them to Milwaukee then.
And then from there, you went with them to Leavenworth prison?
Yeah.
That must have been quite a thrill.
Yeah. And then when they got through the Frank Chase, the bank had something on them, then they could take them. So they went after them, and the first thing they wanted to know where I was when they got back to Wautoma jail. He says, he's out here on the farm. driving mail yet. I hadn't been elected sheriff yet. And they wanted to see me. So I went to see him. Boy, they were just as nice as they could be. They said, "We ain't got nothing against you. You was just doing your duty." So they wanted me to know that they had nothing against me. I don't know what ever become, what they'd done with them. They sent them over the road again for another year. I don't know what ever become of them after that.
Didn't you say that Rambler killed himself in prison?
Yeah, he killed himself. And there's a Patsy was killed, you see. Mm-hmm. So there's two of them gone. Mm-hmm. So there's only two left.
And he was buried at Oak Hill.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was buried here in Oak Hill.
Did you ever find any relatives of his?
Mm-mm. Nobody never heard of any relatives.
Well, who put the marker by his grave at the cemetery?
Nobody knows. That's why they don't. Somebody did it.
How old were
they? Nobody knows. It was done in the night.
How old were these robbers? Were they young?
Oh, they were not any of them very old. Old Rambler, I guess, was the oldest one, and Hanlon. Yeah.
Well, that was
Patsy,
a nice one.
Patsy was a kind of a young. Oh, he couldn't have been over 25 anyway. But I said to you, they said he was a good one.
You would have made a good robber if you had more time.
That's what they said. The little Rambler said that.
Well, thank you very much. Okay, would you tell us about finding the money?
Mm-hmm.
You found the money?
Yeah, we found all the money that they took out the post office on their person, except $40 or $45, whatever. They had it all divided, you know, equal. Each one had his share in a little handkerchief or something tied up in change and bills too, whatever there was in the post office. And we got all the money except $45, but we went back the next day, but somebody had been there ahead of us, I guess, and got the money.
But did you get anything out of it at all, yourself?
Boy, we got the reward. We got that reward, and I divided that all, and I don't remember what it did amount to. There were so many of us, it didn't amount to such a... I think we got if I remember right, $1,200 or $1,400 mm-hmm. reward mm-hmm. altogether.
Well, thank you.
Ready to set off. He says, "If that ever goes up, it'll blow the hole in the ground big enough to bury a house." So he says, "If you go to the woods tomorrow or next day, you be careful to that. Don't take any chances." So he shot, found it where he throwed it when he was captured, and we took after him. He threw that, you know, got rid of it, dropped it. He told me right where it was. So we got the gun, and somebody shot it. And you ought to see that thing blow up. Made a hole big enough you could bury a house.
Who warned you about that?
Hmm?
Who warned you about that?
Old Rambler.
He did?
Yeah.
Well, he was pretty...
Yeah, he didn't want me to get hurt or any of us to get hurt with it on his account. That it made it all the worse for him, you know, I suppose.
Who were the local people who went with you out there? Who was in the posse?
Oh, next day?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't remember. Oh, gosh, I could name a lot of them. I forgot now.
Your brother Lewis?
Yeah, and Jim Roberts and the mail carrier from Berlin. What was his name too?
Dick Davis?
No, Dick wasn't long. But there were a lot of them from here, you know, mm-hmm. at that time. I think Hart's sister, some of them. Arnold Hart's. Bill Hughes. You know, there was a lot of them fellas that was around here at that time.
Well, that was certainly something. Have a service every Sunday?
Yeah. Sometimes every night in the week.
Oh.
Who was it, Mr. Sleep and
Sick? What?
Who was it, Mr. Sleep? He used to talk about somebody that slept there all the time.
I don't know now.
You just don't want to tell on him, hmm?
No. No, if I could tell anything interesting, I would, but.
This is the 9th of July, 1968, and we're now visiting with Louis Prather, the brother of John Prather, who just made the recording in 1957. What do you remember about the robbery, Mr. Prather?
Well, I remember it was a very exciting day. I was at that time not at that time, no, but I was drayman. I run the dray here. And the four men that slept in my brother Johnny's barn, we picked them, and they called me up from the depot to come around the back street and help pick them up. So we took them over to the lockup that we had at Wild Rose at that time. And then the posse started out. So we went. And we went all day long until that towards evening. So they decided there's nothing doing, so they were going to go home. So we stopped on the four corners just east of the Hanwald home, and said, "We haven't been through those yet, have we?" "No." "Well, shall we go?" "Well, somebody says there's no use in going because they've gone out of here by now." So finally somebody says, "Well, if we're going, let's go." "Well, all right, let's go." So we all went. And so the posse was set. The good riflemen was set on the outside of the, on both sides of the fields, of the woods. And there was a man by the name can't think of his name now, but he was a stranger at that time here. They put him and I to go out and to give us a few minutes to start with to go to the north end of the woods. There was a rail of fence, and we were both to take each side of the fence and come down and meet Johnny and I.R. Nash would start and come towards and meet us. We didn't see anything of him. Until I heard my brother Johnny holler for them to halt, and they started shooting right away.
Well, just as soon as they started shooting, then I got a glimpse of them. Well, I had a shotgun. I was shooting BBs. And, well, I let her drive in the brush there, but I don't know whether I hit anybody or not. I don't think so. But Johnny shot, and I saw Rambler's hat fly off his head. Well, so we lost them then for several... Oh, for quite a long time. So we kept circling, getting where we saw them the last time, and the brush was so thick there that we couldn't see but a few feet ahead of us. But finally they took to their heels, and we got them cornered in a ravine closer to the road. And there's where we had the battle. And there were several there, lots more than I can begin to think of. So, but I saw this man killed. I saw the man shoot him, and I saw him take the bead on him, and he never knew whatever hit him. So I don't know what.
Was that a bullet or a shotgun?
It's a bullet. And I shot a good many deer with it, and I tell you, they never get up if I hit them. Well, I don't know if there's anything more.
Tell us about the dray business.
Well, we took them to put them in the lockup.
Oh, I meant when you were hauling dray, when you were running.
Oh, dray. Well, there were loads and loads of goods come to on the depot here. Platform on both sides of the depot at that time. You remember that, don't you? Don't you remember that?
Heavy stuff too, wasn't it?
Eh?
A lot of it was heavy.
Oh, everything came by freight, you know. Everything came by freight. Sure, everything. Oh, yes.
And you had a team of horses, I suppose.
Yes. I kept that for a year, and then I sold out to Johnny.
Spurgeon?
No, Johnny. Clyde.
Johnny Jeffers.
Hmm?
Bobby Jeffers
used to
work for him. No?
Oh, just a minute. Clayton, Johnny Clayton. I bought Maury Milliken out, and then I sold out. I run it for a year. Then I took a trip to Tacoma, Washington, and came back. And
where was your old home, Chick?
On where I was born.
Yeah.
Right over here. First house. East on the left-hand side of Pete Popek's on trunk line A.
The house is gone now, isn't it?
No.
Oh, that?
There's no house there now. That is my grandfather's house.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. But that's where we were all born.
Well, you had some interesting experiences in the livery barn, too. Didn't you have runaways? Some fellas have runaway horses?
Oh, yes. Runaways all kinds. I had runaways. My fellas took them out there. One runaway was a man that I had working for me. He went off and left the team. There was naturally a runaway team anyway, and he went off and left them. And they run away. I never saw the buggy afterwards. Then I used to drive them myself, you know, and I had a man as steady customer. Every so often he'd come, and I'd have that team if I didn't have nothing else left, and take him. They never got away from me at that time, but they run through the lumber yard to me here at home, And pretty darn near killed me, too. And so this day they came, he came, and he wanted to, there was a man with him. And they were going to go. Well, I says, I said, you know the team, I says, and I says, that's all I've got left in the barn. Well, I says, never mind, he says, we'll take care of that, he says. So they got as far as Saxville and they run away from him. Well, they didn't call me up, so I never went near them. But they got hold of a milk wagon from somebody, just an old common milk wagon. And Foster Hansen, he fixed up the harness and they started off in the milk wagon. Somewhere's on the route, they run away again.
Now, just a minute, I want to change this.
Trouble with our machine, so we'll start going again. Well, anyhow, Foster Hansen, he fixed up the harness, and the two gentlemen started out on the rest of their trip. But on their way, they had another runaway. And I met him a couple days afterwards. I was making the trip with another team. and they said, this is a hell of a team you gave me. I said, yes, you knew what there was to. And I said, what do you do with the buggy? Well, we don't know what the buggy is. I think another one we don't know where it is either. So they finally got home, but they were good fellas. I don't know, I guess probably the buggies probably wasn't worth over $5-6 a piece anyhow. So they paid for it anyhow, whatever it was. But I always had a good customer just the same.
How many teams did you have?
Oh, sometimes I had about 30 horses.
Was there that much business for a horse and buggy?
Why, George, I was busy. I made money there, and I didn't have any money. I borrowed every nickel when I bought it. Every penny. Every penny I borrowed it.
Six. Were the runaways little grays?
They was.
Little gray horses? Broncos?
Yeah. You bet your life. But
I never drove them, but I remember seeing them.
Boy, oh boy, but they tell you they.
How much did you charge for a day with the horses?
Well, it was get $3 a day then, and you know, your keep. But, you know, here was the idea. You start out in the morning, and you'd be gone for maybe a week with the same man. Cover the whole territory. Well, you wasn't feeding your horses, and you wasn't feeding your man. Hire a man, you know, for 75 cents a day, then you'd drive team. Sure. $1.50 to go to Watoma, $2 to go to Wolfpacker.
Did you send a man along with the horses?
Well, not always, no. Not always. The home people used to do their own driving, sure. Yeah.
Well, the salesman used to come with big
trunks. Oh, yes. A whole wagon load of trunks, you know. Sure. Used to take salesmen to Pine River, and he'd be there for probably 2 or 3 days with his trunks to Kimball's. And then he'd call up and I'd have to go and get him. Well, of course, them, you know, he would charge more, you know, with a big outfit like that, you know. But that's the way they were. Sometimes I've stayed on overnight in Poissippi when I had 4 of my own teams in the same barn, staying all night. And the men and the whole bit, and starting out the next morning.
Where did you get the feed for all those horses?
Used to buy it.
Bought the hay and grain.
Oh, sure.
You weren't doing any farming then?
No, not then. No.
Why would the horses run away? Did they leave them? Did they just get scared at something or what?
Well, you know, that team was a, there's a funny team. You'd be driving along, you know, but if you didn't if you didn't know them, why, they'd get away from you before you had a chance to wink an eye. Why, you know, if you was driving along in them days, you know, there was brush right up to close to the road. Well, if the whipple trees would rake on some of those trees and scare them a little bit, well, they'd jump so doggone quick, they'd take the whipple trees right off them, where they go there. And take they've done that with me. The old dashboard on the, you know how on the buggy used to be? Sticking right straight out. Take me right over it, but I'd hang on and they'd take me down the road plowing through the sand, but I never let them get away from me like that. The only time they ever got away from me was the time they run away with me through the lumber yard. I could always tell when they was going to run.
They were little horses too, weren't they?
Yeah. They wasn't very big. One was a little bit bigger than the other, but boy, they were tough, you know. Yeah, they were tough, but gentle to handle, as far as that is concerned. Yeah. So.
Who did you sell the livery business to?
Johnny Clayton. Yeah.
Well, Jim Roberts had it for a while, didn't he?
Oh, yes. Jim was there quite a little while. I bought it from Jim.
You used to meet the four trains a day, too.
Four trains a day. Sometimes stay there till 1 o'clock in the morning waiting for the train. I tried to get him to let me build a little windbreak for the horses. No, they wouldn't let you put up a board there. That was terrible for the team to stand out there. But I was carrying mail too, you know, to the post office. Come in that night, you know, with the mail. Everybody, I think, was locked up. Had the key for the post office. Unlock the door and give it a fire into the post office. So that was the end of the post office for me. That's the way I delivered mail one of them kind of nights.
They wouldn't let you haul it anymore.
Oh, yes, I hauled it, but you see, but that's the only thing I could do. I had the key to open, unlock the post office door. Then I'd throw it in on the floor. I wouldn't go back in back of the post office. Yeah.
What other businesses were in town at that time?
Oh, Oscar Holt. Patterson, W.E. Jones, even Owens Blacksmith Shop.
Claude Sprague, meat market.
Eh?
Claude Sprague, meat market.
Yes, Claude Sprague, meat market. Earl Dake was a jeweler. Yes, and
how about Martha Jones?
Bob K. Jones.
Smart was no longer in business.
Oh, yes.
He was still in business, Charles Smart?
Oh, yes.
Kemper?
No.
Glover.
Glover was in business, the harness business.
He sold it to Kepler later.
He sold it to Kepler.
What did Dick Sage do?
Dick Sage was the first undertaker here. He made his own coffins and he made vaults. He even made his own coffin and his own vault. He was buried in them.
attorney?
No, he... No, he come a little later. But just when, I don't remember now.
4 or 5 saloons, wasn't there?
There was for a couple of years, I think. Because I know I moved them out. I don't remember the moving them in. You know, they had all those fixtures, you know. Beautiful things, you know. Had to move them out and load them into a boxcar, you know.
Why did they quit?
They were voted out.
Voted out.
They were voted out, yeah. Oh, and then Bob Ross?
He was a photographer?
No.
Who was he?
Saloonkeeper.
Oh.
Yeah.
Must have been a photographer here. DeMond, maybe then, or Woodard? Stevens was a drugstore?
No.
The fellow named Adorn, I believe, was the druggist, wasn't he, for a while?
Yeah, but that's, that come quite late. Yeah, way late.
Was the Wild Rose Times being published at that time?
The what?
Wild Rose Times.
Yes, that's I.R. Nash.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Was he. And Dr. Stevens, he came in here the day before the...
Oh, was
he? Yeah, the day before the...
The robbery?
Yeah.
Well, Dr. Fisher
also. Yeah, the day before the robbery.
Where did you go to school?
Kaminsky Schoolhouse.
Mm-hmm. Who were your teachers?
Holy man. Well, I'll tell you. Anna Ellingson, her name was. She was my first teacher. But she had know what my name was. I told her my name was Chick. Well, I don't know. I guess one of my sisters was there with me, Ella or Elsie or somebody. And said, oh, he says his name is Lewis. So they thought they'd better name me. I guess that morning before I went to school. But all the time, I was Chick, and I've always been Chick ever since.
Who were your neighbors there then?
We'll start right over here where Haddon's. That was Reese
Davis.
E.J. Davis was the next one, straight on the road. And the next place is, there's a fellow by the name of Jones, but I forget his name now. That's where Haddon's other farm is. And then the next house to the schoolhouse there, that's Frank Kaminsky. Then we own from there on to where we was born. Then Louis Olson was next, Robert Wilson was next on the right hand side, and then Louis Olson, and then another Kaminsky, and then Indus came. Next, lived on a log house on the left-hand side of the road as you're going towards Saxville. You go by that place there. It's just after you pass the road going to Frank's house now. There's a big lilac bush there. They lost a little girl there, and she's buried under that lilac bush. And the next place was Billowood. And from there on, of course, I knew some of the...
Who lived north of your place? North of the schoolhouse, I mean.
Peter Hansen. And James Evans. Well, of course, then these other houses was built after their days. Tom Evans lived north of there. And then my grandfather, Morgan Davis, lived next to him, west or north. And so on.
What's the first thing you remember? You're 90 years old. You ought to have some very long memories.
Well, I forgot so doggone me. A lot of things I just soon could.
Have any more experiences in the livery business? Didn't you have some funny things happen?
The old home still.
I think I've heard of
that story.
What about the home still? What about the home still?
Well, I never had any of them, only just what I took away when I was sure.
Tell us about that.
About that. Well, that's when I was sure. That's when I was sure. Oh, boy. Yeah. No, I never had still.
No, I meant, whose stills did you confiscate?
Oh, golly, I couldn't tell you. There was... Most of them was nuts. And them that drank it was worse than that.
What did they make it out of?
Flies and
swill.
Well, they made, aren't they? Sure. Sure, I was there, two fellas from Milwaukee, searching a guy there, and there the swill barrel was right in the pig pen. Bash. And the fellow went in there, well, he says, here's your mash right here. Well, it is, he says. So he grabbed a pail there and give the pigs a pail for that. They wouldn't touch it. They wouldn't go near it. No. And the snow was about gone on in. And low places, and sounds like that, you know. And I walked by that thing there. And of course, I didn't do any hunting when them fellas were along. I thought to myself, that's your job. You do your hunting. I used to have to hunt myself when they come to me for it. But they couldn't serve their own search warrant, so they would have to take the sheriff. That's how I'd go along with them guys. So I went by there, and one of these fellas come by there, and he stopped me looking over in that kind of big place, about half as big as this room. A lot of snow had filled in there, a hole in there. There were three corn cobs sticking up in a row out of the snow. Had been thawing, you see. He kept looking at them, and finally, by golly, he walked over there and plunk, he went down clean to above his hips into the snow. And he scratched that up. He reached down and he pulled out a 5-gallon jug full of moon. And then he fell around and got the others out. It's 15 gallons. Yeah, that's the way we find it, you know.
The pigs had more sense than the people, didn't they?
Oh, boy, yes.
Didn't you find a jug of moonshine that some woman had? In bed with her?
Oh, yo. Well, had a little fight there. Sure. Well, yes, sure, but I had Frank Chase with them in, but there's three other men. And they began scattering all this, one to go this way. And I said, wait a minute, you fellas now. I said, you got fire in that little building there? Yeah. Well, you three get in there. And I says, you stay there, because I says, Frank Chase will see that you do. Frank Chase was my deputy sheriff. So, went in there. So I went to the house. Well, when I drove in the house there, I see the old lady and two girls in the through the window. They all look through the window, you know. So I went in. Well, so where the old lady was. I said, where's your mother? My mother's sick, she says. She's bad sick, she says. There was Dutchman's. Pollock's, yes. So they went in. And then I looked around some more, and by golly, the old lady was in bed, and the girls was gone. Where the devil the girl's gone, he couldn't tell. But then there was a hatchway there to go down the cellar. Well, I thought, by golly, I'll look around here. I went down the cellar, couldn't get in. But by George, I heaved, there's a brand new door on it. And so I was going to bust her open. About it. So I finally called him. I says to him, I says, you man that owns that place here, you come over here. But I got it open enough so that by golly I could hear them saying something, whispering to one another. I said, you tell them girls there to take that stuff away from this door so you can open to get in here. Or I'm going to bust it right in for you. And oh, he finally did, he said. Holy smokes. Well, you could smell it in there. Holy man, the priest. And, but where was it? That's the thing of it. Where was the still? There had a big bin upstairs back in there. Well, finally, I have kind of dark in there, so I says to him, tell the girl to go down, go up and get a lantern. When I went in the house, I saw a shotgun hanging up on the wall. I noticed that right away when I went in the first time. So, but he wouldn't send them up. I said, send them up and get a lantern so I can have some light in here. He said, God damn you, he says. I'll get your light down here. Well, I thought about that gun. And When he started up there, I took right after. He beat me up when he got in the house. He just reaching up to get the gun. I just took him right by the back of the neck here, and I took him right outdoors. And I came. I don't know where my strength come from, but I threw it from here as far as Myrtle. And they had a little sled there, and he lit on, and pegs for old wood on, I suppose. And he lit on some of them, and that kind of took the fun out of it for him. Then I picked him out of there and I gave him a damn good slapping up too. Now let me tell you. And then I began hunting for the still. I made up my mind, by gosh, that was buried in the potatoes somewhere there. And there it was. It was buried in the potatoes. And boiling hot. Gee, whiskers, just boiling. Well, I didn't dare to do. It was one of these pressure cookers. Holy moly, but a big one. Got that out there. And I had a 5-gallon, 10-gallon, 10-gallon keg of wine. I says to Frank, I says, you take this out. Still. And I took the 5-gallon, or the 10-gallon keg of wine. I took the wine, just grape wine, and I thought, boy, maybe that might be all right. So I took that home. Well, of course, I drank the wine myself mostly. But
what was the penalty?
$400 in fine.
About the old lady and with the
you know, that's what that. Then the three of them jumped onto me, the women folks, and that tickled me, you know. They tickled me, so they got much of that. I had a lot of fun out of that, you know. But the old man, I sobered him off good. I sobered him off so that he didn't join hands. And so, but you're supposed to take, I was always supposed to take your man right in with you, but I didn't take him. I told him, now, I says, I gave him the next day to get the soreness out a little bit. I didn't want him to come down looking like that bad. But there's a lot of fun in that doggone.
Where were the gents?
Huh?
They're asking where the jug was. She says, where was the jug that the lady had?
Buried in the potatoes.
That was in the potatoes too.
That was buried. Oh, but the wine wasn't. Oh no, they didn't pay no attention to that. You know. No, they didn't pay no attention to it. They'd have barrels of wine, you know, grape wine and all kinds of wine.
But she was in bed, but you couldn't search her. Was that it?
No, but she got out, you know. But the mash, here was the thing of it was. There was a door right here, and the door and the bed was right up against that door. But that was just a kind of a doggone coopy hole back in there. And that's where her their mash was. You see? Yeah.
They had a lot of different ways to conceal those things, didn't they?
One place over here in this side of Almond, they had it. They had a basement barn, and they had quite a little pile of hay. Knew there was kind of just about haying time, and they had probably a couple of jags of hay there. My gosh, in there's two barrels of mash, and under that hay. Well. Of course, now there's two fellows with me then, and they just kind of went up in there, but they couldn't find nothing else. couldn't find it, not a darn thing, find still or nothing else. And so they rolled the mash out of there and got him out, dumped it right on there, and she come all down through the down through the basement floor. And you could smell that for months.
Did they go right back in the business after they paid their fine?
Sure. Sure. Then they got another, they had another scheme. They had another scheme. They take, you could search, you take it, whole sections. Probably take 3, 4, 5 sections. And you go through everything, all over the farm, every building, house, and any place you wanted to go. This was not far out of Tustin. Well, I didn't know who it was. Nothing told about it. So first thing I knew, first one we come to, well, here's one. The fellow said they had a map there, you know. He was Seventh-day Advent. Did them fellows ever hear something? he was in this, but they searched him just the same. They searched him just the same.
Did you have to have a search warrant?
Sure. Sure. Oh yes, you couldn't do nothing that you had a search warrant. Yes. Search some awful places now, I'm telling you, sir. I think I was in pretty near every house in Worcestershire County when I was campaigning and sheriff.